Father, we thank you today that whatever plans you have for a group of people, you already have the leaders that you're going to raise up in order to lead them. And we thank you that even though there was a man that we consider as great as the man Moses, yet you already had a man in the wings that was going to then take on where Moses left off and lead the people on in to the promised land. So Lord, today I just see some analogies between that and what's happening in our church family right now. And I just have to believe that you already have a Joshua out there somewhere and that you are going to bring him to us. But Lord, today, aside from that, we just pray that you would take the parts of Joshua's life, Lord, that we need the application today, apply them to our lives, because there are things to be learned from this man's life that can benefit every single one of us every single day, even as we go about our mundane affairs. Take now your word and use it to us today, either as correction or encouragement, but to bring us more perfectly into union with you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We probably all know the story, especially about Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. There used to be a song about that, Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. How many have heard that song? Jericho, Jericho. Churches used to have Jericho marches. I don't know if any of you have ever participated in one, but in churches where they had the pews and they had aisles wide enough, the people would get and they'd do a Jericho march and do a victory march. That's what you call having church and do a victory march right there in the church. There's a lot, you know, that's the way it is. We remember certain things from certain people. But Joshua was in formation long before he ever stood before those walls of Jericho. Just like Moses was long in preparation before he ever stood the first time before Pharaoh to say, the Lord says, let my people go. We've already talked about Moses. 40 years being trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, 40 years in the desert, and then 40 years leading the people of God. Now, I did a little timeline investigations, as I like to do, on the life of Joshua, and the only thing that these timeline people seem to agree on is that the conquest of Canaan, when they actually went in and crossed the Jordan River and took Jericho, was right around the year 1400 B.C. But so far as when Joshua was born, he lived to be 110 years old. Just when he was born, there isn't really any agreement. Some have him being born as early as 1480 B.C. and some as late as 1460 B.C. But that's really interesting either way, because it means that if he was born in 1480, then when Moses fled Egypt to go into the desert where he would stay for 40 years, if you take the first date, Joshua would have just been born, or maybe been born the year after that. So there's another reason why this thing wasn't going to happen right then. Joshua was going to grow up while Moses was on the backside of the desert being emptied of his self-reliance. And so, as the scripture says, God causes all things to what? Work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And God is already seeing way down ahead, and God already knew he had Joshua growing up right there among the slaves while his servant Moses is 40 years out there watching his father-in-law's sheep and thought his career was over forever. So you see how God works. So depending on whose date you take, about the time that the Israelites left Egypt and were delivered, Joshua was either about 39 years old or he was either about 20 years old. He is described as a young man. So, but back then, 39 was young. After all, he lived to be 110. But this would put, they were in the desert 40 years, see. So if Joshua was 39 when they left Egypt, then he was 79 when he took the leadership from Moses, which makes him within a year of how old Moses was when he went to, under God's orders, to get the people out of Egypt. But Joshua had a distinct advantage. Moses learned directly from the Lord, and the Lord led him and guided him and showed him what he needed to be doing. But Joshua had the enviable, if you may call it that, privilege of being able to learn from the best. He was right there with Moses from the very beginning, and this thing with the Amalekites happened when they hadn't been out of Egypt very long. It happened in those first few months when they had just gotten out there. They had just hardly cleared Egypt's borders, and these Amalekites come and attack them unprovoked. That is why after the battle, God says to Joshua, write this down and make sure that Joshua sees it. I am going to completely erase the name of Amalek from under heaven. And Amalek was a grandson of Esau, which means that Amalek was a great nephew of Israel, Jacob. They were related. And they still came after the people of God unprovoked. And in the days of Saul, many years later, the first king of Israel, it was his refusal to completely carry out God's orders concerning the Amalekites that cost him the kingdom. But it was early on. And who does Moses say, get some people together and go out and fight the Amalekites? Who was it? We saw it acted out. Who was it? Joshua. That proves that Moses already trusted Joshua. He knew that Joshua was a guy that if you asked him to do something, he would do it, and he wouldn't hit you with a whole bunch of questions. And of course, maybe Joshua already had some military training, but Moses had already taken note that he had the right personality and the right training and everything in order to do this. And he went out and he obeyed Moses, and Moses said, I'm going to be up on the hill. I'm going to be your cheerleader. You're going to be doing it. I'm going to be your cheerleader. It wasn't Moses out there fighting them. It was Joshua, and he was getting his first taste of battle in preparation for many, 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 many battles that would take place later, 40 years later or 38 years later, during the conquest of Canaan. So you see how God has him, and he's an aid to Moses. He shines Moses' boots. If Moses had boots, but I doubt if Moses had boots out in the desert. But whatever it was that Moses needed, he was his personal attendant. I read this week where they were talking about Elisha. They said, yeah, he's the guy that used to pour water over Elijah's hands when Elijah washed his hands. That's how Elisha got his start. Are you too proud to work under somebody? Do you consider it beneath you to start at the bottom? How many are old enough, if you'll admit it, to remember when people started at the bottom? And that's just the way it was. And then if you worked out in the little things, then after a while, you'd get a little promotion. And then if you were faithful there, you got a little promotion. And that's really the way that it's supposed to be. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Because all of us have to learn by experience. We may be highly intelligent, but how many know that intelligence is no substitute for experience? And if you don't know that, you're not very old yet, or you don't have much sense. But Joshua is there working with Moses. Listen, Joshua leads the first military action of the newly formed Israelite nation against the Amalekites in the Sinai Desert. We're just doing a little timeline now of Joshua's life. Number two, Joshua serves as Moses' personal attendant for the next 40 years before assuming the leadership of the nation himself. 40 years, number two. How's that for an apprenticeship? But how much do you think Joshua might have learned during those 40 years? If you want to learn something, hang out with some people. Hang out with some people like Moses. You'll become, to some degree, like the people you hang out with. Am I right? You may as well hang out with some people that have some sense and know something, and that you can learn something from. This is just practical stuff. Number three, Joshua accompanies Moses on the mount when the law of God and the plans for the tabernacle are given. We read it this morning. You can read right past it. Folks, Joshua was up there with him. He was with him on the way up, and Moses says, he and I are going up on the mountain, and we'll be coming back later. Meantime, if you have any issues, take them up with Aaron or her. H-U-R, by the way. But he's with him. Joshua sees all this. Number four, Joshua is selected as one of the 12 spies to check out the land of Canaan and report back to Moses. There were 12, one from each tribe. Of these, he is one of only two that returned with a positive report and believed God. Only Joshua and Caleb came back saying, man, the land is just as good as everybody says, and it's time to go in and take the land according to God's command. And the other ten said, oh, it's a wonderful land, all right, but those people are giants, and we look like grasshoppers, and they live in these big walled cities. We can't take the land. And that's when they wanted to rebel and wanted to go back to Egypt. And God said, just for that, all of you, except Joshua and Caleb, 20 years old and up, are going to die in this desert. And it's going to be your children that will go in. And you're going to be here 40 years, 1 year, one year for every day that the spies were spying out that land. But Joshua was a man of faith. Consequently, Joshua and Caleb are the only two spies that live to see and enter the land. All the others perish in the wilderness. Number five, Joshua is chosen to lead Israel after Moses. And while Moses is still alive, and we read that too this morning, the Lord says to Moses, now you go ahead and select Joshua. He's a man who has the Spirit. And by the way, just a note, this is the new NIV off of my computer program. The 1984 NIV, which you have in your pew Bible, does not say spirit of leadership. It says the Spirit. I checked about 15 different versions on Bible Gateway, and this is the only version that inserts the word leadership. It ought to be in italics or in brackets, because that isn't what it says. It says he's a man who has the Spirit. Do you know what spirit that might be? Now, it includes leadership, no doubt. But he was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. That's what it was, and that's why he was qualified to lead. And he said, now I want you to publicly commission him in front of everybody. Get Eliezer out here, the high priest, and we're going to do a commissioning so that everybody will know, and then start giving him some of your authority. Now here it says authority, but everything I looked up, it was more like the word honor or dignity. Anyway, give him some of that so that the people will go ahead and start getting used to following Joshua and taking orders from him. And then Joshua leads Israel until Canaan is conquered and the land is distributed to the tribes. This is what God had promised Abraham 400 years before, and it's under Joshua that it's actually done. Best known stories probably from Joshua's period, the fall of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. We know that story very well. And how many also might have heard that story when you were in Sunday school about Joshua telling the sun to stand still? Oh, yeah. Two very well-known stories. Now, let's do a few observations. And now's the time to get the note thing, if you like to fill in the blanks and have some notes. By the way, I gave you, because to me this language stuff is always interesting. Closer to the Hebrew is Jehoshua, which means Jehovah saved. That's what Joshua means. Jesus is nothing but Jehoshua in Greek. That is the name of our Savior. So every time we say Jesus, we're saying Savior or Jehovah saved. So if somebody, and in fact, I was telling my class this morning, Joshua is called Jesus in the book of Acts in the King James Version because they were translating it from the Greek. So they called him Jesus. So Jehoshua, Jehovah saves, is a type of Christ who is the one who's going to lead us in to our full inheritance and all of that, and who gives us the victory in all of our battles. How many are glad we have a Jehoshua? Hallelujah. And as you read the King James Version, here are other names you're going to read that have the same exact root and basically mean the same exact thing. Hosea, Hoshea, Jehoshua, Jeshua, and then in the New Testament, Jesus, Osi, and Oshia. All of those are basically the same name. And even Joshua himself is referred to by some of these variants in different parts of the King James Version. Just a little information for you there. Number one, Joshua had leadership potential from the very beginning. Every single one of you and I are born with potential. It may be leadership potential, it may be some other kind of potential, but it's some type of potential for something good. And many of the decisions that we make along the way are the ones that will determine whether that potential actually ever becomes what God originally equipped us for. We can go a different way. We can go against it. We can waste our lives only having fun. We can decide we don't want to do, you know, certain things. Or we can ruin our lives with drugs and alcohol. Or there's so many different things that we can do. We can get despondent and give up. There are so many things we can do. But whatever it is, if you see any great leader, if you see anybody out there that's good at what they do, yes, they've learned it, they've been trained, but they were born with that potential. It didn't just, you know, happen the other day. The seeds of it are already there. And how many know some people are good with their hands? Some people are great at music. Some people can't carry a tune. So the person that can't carry a tune was not born with great potential to be a great opera singer. But Joshua was born with leadership potential. So whatever the Lord is making you and me, and I say making because it's still at 66 in a couple months, the Lord is still making me. How about you? Suppose you're 80. Is the Lord still making you? Yeah. So whatever it is the Lord is making us, we've had that potential since the very beginning, since the foundation of the world. And now the Lord is simply providing the opportunities for it to express itself and for it to come to life. Number two, Joshua was a military man both by temperament and training. And I make that statement simply based on the facts of his life and what happened once they got to the borders of Canaan, and how that, and another thing that the timeline people all do seem to pretty much agree on is that the conquest itself, from the day Jericho fell until they had pretty much taken the bulk of the land and started to actually give out the parcels to the different tribes, was about 7 years. So the conquest started around 1400 BC and ended around 1393 BC. But in this military, it was 7 years of continual fighting. And yes, it was gory, and yes, it was a lot of bloodshed, but it is what God said he would do, that he was going to take that land from those inhabitants whose sin was so horrific that it rose up to heaven, and that he was going to give it to Abraham's descendants. So he was a military man. And we have a certain bent toward certain things. I just learned that one of Barbara's sister's grandson, it emerges now that he's good with languages, and he's taken Greek and loving it, and is voluntarily translating 3 John on his own this summer just as something he wants to do. So you have a bent, you know? That will express itself somewhere along the way. So this is Joshua wasn't a scholar to the degree that Moses was. He was a military man. But if you're going to go in and take the land, do you need a scholar or do you need a military man? See, the Lord makes no mistakes. And Moses and Joshua were very different. But both of them were perfect for their day, their time, and what God wanted to accomplish at that particular time. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Number three. There are many more, but Joshua was teachable. How do I know he was teachable? Because he hung in there with Moses for 40 years. Doing whatever Moses asked him to do. Yes, sir. I'm on it. He was teachable. If we're going to lead, we've got to be teachable first. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Some of us forget to be teachable. Discipline. Moses would go home. Joshua would stay at the tent of meeting. We read that. And dependable. And if you're going to be a leader, you better have at least those three things. Number four, Joshua was given increased responsibility over time. And that's also the way that it works. None of us are born just able to, you know, to take over right at the offset and at the very beginning. We learn as we go along, and the more that we begin to learn and know, then we're able to begin. As we prove ourselves, we're able to be given greater responsibility. That's true in school, that's true around the house when we're growing up, it's true on the job, and it's also true spiritually and in the Lord's service and in the way that we serve in the Lord's body. So the Lord will give us increased responsibility according to our ability, in keeping with our ability, and very often there is increased responsibility over time. Number five, Joshua had holy boldness. That's what I'm calling it. Some call it courage. And that's one of the themes of Joshua's life. Let me read you, I wasn't going to do this, but let me read you just a few verses here from the beginning. And Moses had already told Joshua these things when he was still around. The Lord is talking to, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Then further down he says, be strong and courageous. Now this is a theme of Joshua's life. But if you're going to go in and conquer a land that you're not equipped to conquer, you don't have the equipment in order to tear down the big and thick and heavy walls. And there are many cities like this. And it is actually, by calculation in the flesh, it is impossible. It is an impossibility. Would you need some courage? So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So be strong and courageous. Stay in the word of God and don't deviate from it to the right or to the left. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong and courageous. That's at least the third time, I think, there. Do not be terrified. There's your knots. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so that is a theme. He had holy boldness. He was willing to approach Jericho. Now, the method was unorthodox because the Lord made it unorthodox. The Lord said, I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times. And then after you've marched around it seven times, I want you all to shout and blow those horns. And then what happened when they did that? What happened? Woo! And the Lord, this is the first city they're taking, see, after they crossed the Jordan River. The Lord wanted to show them right up front what he can do and how he can take down the obstacles and how he can take down the barriers. And so, hey, after seeing that, Joshua's like, this is going to be, you know, sure, we're going to have to fight and all that. But this is a done deal, because the Lord said so, and he's going to be with us. So he had holy boldness. How much boldness does it take to say, hey, son, don't go down for a few hours while we finish this battle? Number six. Joshua was a man of faith. We could spend a long time on that, but five and six go together. Where there's no faith, there's no holy boldness. And where there is no faith, there is no courage. And if there is courage, it's courage of the flesh, and it's misplaced, and it's misguided, and it will not take us where God wants us to go. Joshua's courage is rooted in his faith. Would you say that with me? Joshua's courage was rooted in his faith. And that is where godly courage comes from. And number seven, Joshua set a strong example as a man and as a leader. After the land had been conquered, after the people were in their homes and they were planting their gardens and they were doing all of that, and Joshua is now an old man, he got all of Israel together, all the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel. They presented themselves before God. He reminds them of the promises of God to their forefathers in the old days. He reminds them of some of their history and what the Lord has done. And then he says in verse 14, chapter 24, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household,
who knows it? We will serve the Lord.
And so he was a powerful example and role model. And he lived what he told the other people to live and what he told the other people to do. And we need more Joshuas in our day and in our hour. We need more people that are willing to stick their neck out for the Lord. And we need more people that will say, you know, you do whatever, but me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So, what about Joshua? A great man of God with a very special place in history. What's one of the big lessons? Well, he wasn't made overnight. This was a process where God grew him, gave him all the right opportunities, and then ultimately did use him to lead his people at a very critical time. Now, one final application. I know we're going over just a little bit. You may not have a Jericho to conquer, and you may not have a whole bunch of Amorites to conquer and all of that, but how many of you do face battles in your life? How many of you face things in your life that are too big for you, that you can't do on your own? I just want you to know the same God that Joshua served is the same God you serve if you serve him, and he is still in the same business. And he wants you to have the same kind of faith that Joshua had. You don't have to trust him for the walls of Jericho, but I guarantee you there's something similar that you're facing right now probably and going to have to trust him for. That's why the Lord gives us these opportunities, to actually exercise our trust in him. And if we will trust him, courage comes from trust. And trust is nothing but faith, true faith. That's where the battle will be won. I don't care how high that wall is, or how thick it is, or how heavily armed the inhabitants are, my God is greater. And your God is greater. And never forget it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for these examples in your word. Certainly they lived in another time, but the principles are still exactly the same. We still fight battles every single day. And some of them are just intimidating. They're just bigger than we think we can face. But Lord, you'll be there, and for those who trust in you, and those who act according to your word, and those who have full confidence in your word, you're going to bring deliverance, and you're going to bring it every time. So Lord, encourage us today. Encourage us. If there's someone here discouraged, encourage them today, and give them courage. Give them your courage, the courage that comes from full trust in you. We all face some things, but Lord, you're bigger than all of it. And help us, like Joshua, to be willing to serve, to be willing to follow, and to be able to be willing to labor, Lord, just out of joy of serving you. Now, Lord, as we come this morning to take communion, we think of the one, the great champion, the other Jehoshua, who came and won the biggest battle of all, the battle for our souls, and who defeated the enemy himself. And it's because of him that we can be here today and know that we're saved and have this relationship with you. So as we take part in this communion, may it just be a reminder to us of our Jehoshua, who has gone before and purchased our salvation. Use your word in our hearts, we pray. This day, and this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.